Now, if you were paying attention and remembered where we were last week, you might actually be wondering if somebody somewhere forgot to turn the page. Last week's gospel was Matthew, Jesus' final teaching to the disciples publicly up on the Mount of Olives, after which, you know, what happens next? The Last Supper, leading all the way through to the crucifixion and the resurrection. Basically, what we just did was we lifted up, slid Matthew out, slid Mark in, and landed in exactly the same place. It's Mark where he's on the Mount of Olives doing his last teaching to the disciples, and after that, if you turn the page, it's the Last Supper and etc. So we're preparing for Christmas, right? So why do we stay in the same place with the same theme going on? Because Jesus is talking about he's going to come again. And there's a need to be prepared for it because something's going to happen when he comes again. What's going to happen? What happens? When Jesus comes again, let me see if I can bring you, get you in sync here. Last week with Matthew, we had the sheep and the goats. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. And what happens? They're judged. The sheep are welcomed into the kingdom of God because, wow, short-term memory. I thought mine was bad. The sheep, they saw the hungry and fed them, saw the thirsty and gave them something to drink, the homeless and gave them shelter, the sick and the imprisoned, and they visited them. In contrast, the goats, you know, the stubborn ones who never listen, they did none of the above, and so what happens to them? They don't go up. They get the express elevator heading down. What do you think Mark was hinting at when he hits the same theme in today's gospel from Mark? It very clearly ends with, be on the watch, because same thing. He's going to come again, and when he does, what's he going to do? You know, the opening prayer even tried to give us a heads up, if you will, because the very first words of it, we were asking for the grace that when the Lord comes, not the first time, but the second time, we will be hastening towards him empty-handed. I'm trying to trick you up and you didn't get it. That we will hasten to meet him with righteous deeds. Meaning, we see the hungry, we see the thirsty, we see the homeless, etc. And we don't just ignore them, but we do something for them. That's the underpinning, because the real point of Christmas, if we don't overlook it, is it's the first coming preparing for the second coming. The reason he came the first time is because we needed his help. Isaiah, is an important first reading because it's basically Isaiah's acting like a physician who is giving a rather serious diagnosis to a very sick patient. He's looking at the state of where things are in his day. This is post Assyrian invasion of the northern kingdom of Israel, the upper 10 tribes that have been adamantly disobedient to the will of God, have intermingled their faith with their pagan neighbors, and have doing everything exactly opposite to what God taught them to do. And despite multiple warnings from various prophets, they've continued and not repented of it. And he's saying, you know, Lord, that you would rend the heavens. You know, that's a powerful image. Rend the heavens open and do what? Come down. Because he sees the state that the people are in and recognizes that they're in a situation that they themselves, by themselves, can do absolutely nothing about. You know, it's a strange thing that God did when he made the human race. He gave us a free will. We're not robots. Now, you're not born with a little program running somewhere in the center of your brain that makes you do everything that God says to do. He gave us a free will. We get to choose whether or not we're going to listen to God and do what God says to do. Along with it, we're giving, you know, this is the result of if you do not follow what I have given you to do, this is what happens if you do. Sheep and goats. Now, I don't know, you might not be the sheep over here. You could be the goats. And vice versa. But it's that very simple refrain in there of there's this challenge that we need to learn how to listen and then do what God is asking of us. It's fairly simple, fairly clear, but we exercise our freedom so often badly, and then we sit back and wonder why bad things are coming to us as a result of it. But yet we do it over and over and over again. You know, the human race, the state that we're in today, is absolutely no better than it was back in, this is about 800 years before the birth of Jesus. In the same place. And what Isaiah sees that the people need is the same thing that we need. And we're post-first coming of Christ. He has rent the heavens and he has come down to us and added to immensely what God had provided for the Israel, people of Israel, by providing us with post-resurrection the gift of the New Testament and especially the seven... Why am I pointing at the altar? Yeah. The sacraments, in particular, baptism and confirmation that prepare us for receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, so that not just trying to rely on our own power, we're literally being given God's own power. Remember, sacraments are containers of power. The power of God working through the Holy Spirit in the life of the church to empower us to hear, not just hear, but hear and do the will of God. So that when he comes again, we're not running in the opposite direction because we know we are not coming with full hands of righteous deeds, but empty ones, but the opposite, that we've listened to and are seeking to obey, knowing that we can draw upon the help that God has given us as a result of Jesus' first coming and his suffering, dying, and rising again so that we can do God's will. Remember the two commandments that focus what God's will is. That we love our God how much? We give him a passing 5 minutes or so once a month or two or three or four or once a year. No. We love God with our entire self so that, filled with his grace and power, we can do part two of that commandment. Love our neighbor as ourselves. But we need to do what? What the people of Israel in Isaiah's time failed to do, we need to learn to listen to God. We need to receive what he has told us we need to do. We need to acknowledge with humility that this is not stuff that we can do on our own. We're human, we're weak, we're fallible, and we fail. But God has given us the antidote to our weakness in the sacraments and with the help, the guidance of his living word. We need to acknowledge, if you want truth, here it is. There's not a truth, it is the truth. And it does not change. The truth that we've been given through the word is eternal. and change less. The help that we are being given through the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, that power is limitless, where our own power is limited. It runs out quickly, but God knows that, and so does not expect us to try to live all of this out under our own power. The mercy of God is profoundly made manifest. We need to stop being prideful and stubborn, obstinate, and let that grace flow. That's why, you know, we don't start decorating and celebrating Christmas until when? When does the church celebrate Christmas? It starts on December. December 25th. You can go to Christmas Eve on December 24th. Because Advent is not Christmas, but it is designed as a time for what? It is a penitential season. In times past, they called Advent Little Lent, which Lent has what kind of a theme to it behind it? It's penitential. It's that humbly acknowledging that, man, we can get so messed up, but God can straighten us out if we will turn to Him. And as Jesus counsels us in that gospel passage, that we'll be on the watch, watching for the opportunities to put His will into practice, watching for the opportunities to be renewed in His profoundly powerful gifts of grace, and go forth hastening to meet Him, not with empty hands, but with hands that are full of righteous deeds, so that when that day comes, you've been watchful, you are prepared, and you are ready to be judged.